if you would please, this morning for just a few moments as you pray for us. I pray God will touch us and help us this morning through the Word of God. And we started at the first of the month talking about, of course, being the month of Thanksgiving, the month in which we celebrate Thanksgiving as far as a nation is concerned. And we've said through preaching some different messages that you and I as God's children ought to be thankful each and every day. And we've been preaching some thoughts on Thanksgiving. We talked about certainly being thankful for life, being thankful for liberty, as the choir so wonderfully sang about this morning. And I want to conclude as far as I know, unless the Lord directs our heart otherwise, here from the 95th Psalm, on the thought of being thankful this morning for our Lord. To be thankful for our Lord, not only to be thankful for life and for liberty or freedom, but to be thankful for our Lord. I wonder today how many of us today that are saved are truly thankful for our Lord. Now, everybody today in here worships someone or something. And we've said that throughout the duration of preaching, certainly this thought on being thankful. But today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and have allowed Him to become the Lord of your life, we ought to be thankful unto Him, and we ought to honor Him with our lives and with our service, and certainly any way that we can to honor and worship and glorify Him. So I begin to think about that and look in this 95th Psalm. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, as all the psalms are. And, of course, these were sung, of course, by the children of Israel at different times and different occasions. And we find some wonderful things here in this 95th Psalm. And I'm going to read it here in just a moment and give you a few brief thoughts that the Lord's placed upon my heart. Just draw some thoughts right out of these verses this morning as we again think about being thankful for our Lord. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able to stand this morning. And certainly if you're not, that's okay. The Bible says now in the 95th Psalm, could you imagine now the children of Israel as they're gathered together and they begin to sing this wonderful song. Now, there's some differing ideas on when they might have sang this song, but a lot of them seem to think that it would be during the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be a feast of Thanksgiving, as they would make their journey to Jerusalem. There was three different times, and I'll talk about maybe that throughout the duration of the service this morning. But could you imagine in unison the children of Israel gathered outside their tabernacle or traveling to the tabernacle, and they began to sing this wonderful song here in the 95th Psalm. Oh, come. Now, notice now, verse number 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Now, notice that. Unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. There's that word thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Verse 3. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. Notice that. And He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Notice verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. I love verse number 7. For He is our God. Notice that. For He is our God. And then He says, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Then notice today, if you will hear His voice. Verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today, Lord, to thank You, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Thank You for Your love and Your grace, and thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for the privilege to be back in Your house this morning. Thank You for all those that have gathered Lord, this way this morning. Thank you for the good teaching, and thank you for the wonderful singing, and Lord, all that's been done, Father, in your name. But I do pray now, God, is your servant, that you would anoint me afresh and anew. God, I need your help. God, I need your touch. Lord, I pray you'd anoint these lips of clay as I stand in this place, that God, you, again, you'd anoint me afresh and anew. And God, I'd preach the very things that need to be preached from this text this morning. And then I pray that our ears and hearts would be open and receptive, Lord, to what you have for us. May we, as your people, continually give unto you thanksgiving and our worship and our praise and our adoration. And then, Lord, if there happened to be one here today, Lord, maybe they've hardened their heart, Lord, and not listened to what you have for them. Lord, they've never trusted you as their Savior. I pray now through the duration of this service that the good Holy Ghost of God would convict them and draw them. Lord, this very day they'd come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody cold, indifferent. I just pray, God, work among us. Help us to be obedient and submissive unto you and unto your word. And, Father, we will thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, again, as we consider our thought on be ye thankful, you and I should be thankful for our Lord, or unto, as it said here in this wonderful psalm, unto our Lord. Now, you remember we started back in the book of Colossians in the first part of this month talking about thanksgiving and being thankful in chapter number 3 and verse number 15, where the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Again this morning, there's so much that you and I have to be thankful for. But I believe this morning there's nothing far greater for you and I to be thankful for than our Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to consider who we are and who he is and how he's loved you and I and what he's done for you and I, then friend, this morning we ought to truly be thankful unto him and for him. Here again in this wonderful psalm, the Jews would come together and sing and worship the one true God. And that's what we're here to do this morning, is to worship and adore the one true God. I believe that they are as we begin to consider here, again, the psalm, I believe it's one of the greatest ways that you and I can show our thanks and our appreciation unto our Heavenly Father in honoring him with our worship, with our praise, and with our thanksgiving. And so this morning, with that thought in mind, I want to begin to consider some thoughts now from this wonderful psalm this morning that I pray that will help us to consider not only today, but each and every day, how we ought to be thankful for our Lord. I'll tell you what, this morning, just think about where you would be today without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you where you would be, friend. If you're here saved, you'd still be lost in your sin. And I'll tell you what, separated from a thrice holy God. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as Savior, you still have another opportunity, even this very day, to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would beg of you today to consider where you're going to spend eternity, and consider the relationship that you can have today with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we ought to be thankful for our Lord. The book of James is very familiar, but let me give it to you before I get into my thoughts this morning. The book of James in chapter number 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The greatest gift that's ever come down from the Father. Now, there's many great gifts that have come down from the Father. But, friend, there's been no greater gift to this world and to you and I than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be thankful unto him this morning for his willingness to send him the Father and the Son's willingness to come. Oh, my soul, friend, I want you to consider that as you consider this psalm. Also, I believe you could consider with this psalm and the book of Hebrews and chapter number 4 as Paul writes about that rest for the child of God. And I'm not going to say a lot about that this morning. I want to look at about three different thoughts here this morning from the psalm as we consider the thought again, being thankful unto and for our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice number 1. In verse number 1, we have an invitation to sing. An invitation to sing. Notice what he says in verse number 1. Oh, come, let us. Now, notice that. It's collectively this morning. I'm glad we can sing in our hearts and make melody unto the Lord from our hearts this morning individually. But here, the children of Israel, we said, I would come together and they would begin to sing this song and the psalm and praise the Lord and to worship Him. Notice again, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Who are they singing to? Unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And so first of all, in our worship and our thanksgiving unto our Lord and for our Lord, number one, the psalmist here says that we ought to have, we have an invitation to come and to sing, to worship in song unto the Lord. Of course, the word Lord here is that word Jehovah as we know it today. The word Jehovah, of course, means the self-existent or eternal. It was the Jewish name, a national name of God Himself. And so notice here, there's an invitation to sing. And oh, how we ought to sing and make a thanksgiving unto our Lord, for our Lord today, because of the blessings that He has bestowed upon each and every one of us here this morning. And then notice also within this song, I believe this morning it was to be sung from the depths of their heart, not just the moving of their lips, but to come from the depths of their heart. I believe anything that we do for God ought to come from the depths of our heart. I don't believe it ought to be half-hearted. I don't believe this morning it ought to be a put-on or a show or for somebody else to see. Thank God it ought to come from the depths of our very soul and from the depths of our heart with a heart of appreciation and a heart of praise unto a God that's loved you and I so much this morning that again He was willing to come and pay a debt that you and I could not pay. Oh, how we ought to come together in thanksgiving. I believe every time that we gather, it ought to be a time of thanksgiving and being grateful and praising God through song this morning, lifting up our voices, lifting up our hearts, and praising a God that's been so good to you and I this morning. Israel was coming together and saying, oh, come, let us sing, let us worship, let us praise the God that is above all gods, the God, the true and the living God. Oh, this morning, He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Hallelujah. To lift up our voices in song. And I believe that song ought to come from the depths of our heart. Not just something for a show. I'm afraid we're living in a time where there's a whole lot of show. And there's a whole lot of sound. Amen. There's a whole lot of show and there's a whole lot of sound. But friend, there's not much singing from the depths of our heart. I believe this morning as we come and show our thankfulness unto Him. Here is directed us in this psalm, an invitation to sing, to worship in song unto the Lord, unto Jehovah God, unto the self-existent one, unto the eternal one, from the depths of our heart. And then not only from the depths of our heart, but notice it should be directed to the ears and the heart of God Himself. Who are we singing to? Well, preacher, we're singing to the congregation. We're singing to the crowd. Well, friend, you're singing to the wrong one. Now, I understand today as we sing together and as they sing together, certainly they can enjoy that and be a part of that. But, friend, our song, our worship this morning in song, this invitation to come and sing, was to sing unto the Lord, unto the God that had loved them, unto the God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt, to the God that had supplied everything that they needed, even in that time of the wilderness experience. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, we ought to lift up our voices in song. Listen, not to sing to impress anybody, not to sing to draw a crowd, not to sing, certainly for other reasons this morning, for no other reason, but to lift up our voices and sing and give praise unto the Lord today. Hallelujah. Just think how much. Now, we have a great choir, and I'm thankful for our choir. And I'm thankful for all the talent that God has blessed Pleasant Grove Baptist Church with. I mean, he's just blessed us with abundance of talent. But friend, when you get up to sing, whether it's in the choir, whether it's individually, or wherever it might be, you just lift up your voice in praise, just like you're looking into the portals of glory, and you're singing to the one that's seated on the right hand of the Father, the one that's making intercession for you and I, the one that's our great high priest, the one this morning, thank God, was in existence even before the world was spoken into existence. Oh, I'm telling you, hallelujah, it'll change our worship. It'll change the thankfulness of our heart when we begin to realize that it's to be based directly to the ears and heart of Almighty God this morning. It'll make a difference. We have a lot of going on today to impress people, to draw crowds. Nothing wrong with having more people. I'm not preaching again. But listen, at the end of the day, it ought to be directed to praising and honoring and glorifying and lifting up. And lifting up. And lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I want you to notice in this great song, being thankful unto the Lord. Number one, there's an invitation to sing. And I like this. He says, oh, come, let us sing. You say, preacher, I'm not much of a singer. Well, I'm not either, and I've said that many times. And there's a lot of people that would agree with me. That when it comes to talent, as far as singing is concerned, then certainly I don't have that talent. But I can still lift up my heart. I still have a song in my heart. I can still sing praises unto the one, thank God, that loved me and redeemed me. I'm glad I can get in the shower, and even though the water might want to stop running, it's still on. Hallelujah, I can still. Do you ever just get down to driving down the road, and God just put a song on your heart? You just begin, and before you know it, you're singing that song out loud, and you're going driving down the road, and somebody's looking, I wonder what's going on over there. Hey, friend, thank God, just keep lifting up. Listen, it's not only at the house of God. I'm glad it's at the house. I'm glad it can be driving down the road. Let God put a song in your heart. And thank God, lift up your voice and just praise God anyhow. You may be in the midst of the storm. You may be going through the valley. You may be going through some difficult times in your life. But friend, just begin to praise Him. Just begin to thank Him. Just begin to sing to Him. I'll tell you what, before long, the sun will begin to shine. The birds will begin to sound. I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. And the Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. Oh, this morning, if we'd just be thankful and sing and lift up our hearts and praise Him this morning, I'll tell you what, it'd make life a lot better for all of us here today. Instead of singing gloom and despair and agony on me. Some of you looking at me a little funny, especially young people, don't know what I'm talking about. That seems to be the song of our day. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm talking about people that are saved. I'm talking about people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm talking about people that really know God. If we're not careful, we begin to get down in the valley. But friend, just begin to look up. Look up. Look up. God is still on the throne. And give Him praise and glory this morning in song. He's still worthy. Could you imagine the singing that's going on in glory today? I can't sing much here, but boy, when I get over there, you better get out of the way. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be able to sing just as good as the rest of that crowd. I believe by singing by letter anyhow. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Just open up and let her fly. Amen.
I'd rather have somebody that's got the touch of God on them, hallelujah, that knows God and is worshiping God, hallelujah, instead of trying to impress people, just worship Him, sing unto Him, hallelujah, and it'll be all right. If nobody else don't like it, God will. Thank God, God will, God will, hallelujah this morning. And as long as He likes it, it'll be all right. We ought to be thankful for our Lord. Number one, we notice here the opportunity to come and sing. The invitation to sing unto the Lord, unto the Jehovah God. Not only, I want you to notice something else about this song. It says, make a joyful noise. I can do that, can't you, Miss Debbie? Have you ever noticed anybody that just enjoyed doing what they were doing? Huh? Now, we've also seen them people that didn't seem to be enjoying what they were doing at all. Huh? I mean, it looks like her dog's run off, their girlfriend's left, their wife's run off, or they've lost their best friend, or their dog's died. I mean, just life just been. But notice again, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's the one we're singing about anyhow. I'm afraid that's the problem with too many of our songs in this day and hour. They're not about Him. Somebody said one time, says, preacher, what do you get if you... You know, years ago they used to talk about playing songs backwards, the rock songs, and they would have satanic messages in them, and that may be very true. I don't know about all that, but... Somebody said you could play a country song backwards, you get your dog back, and your house back, and your girlfriend back, and your wife. I mean, you just get all back. It may be some of you listen to the wrong kind of music. Hello? Woo-hoo! We can preach here a while, but I better move on. Preacher, that's none of your business. Well, it may not be none of mine, but it's God's business. Amen. And if you're going to have a joyful noise come from your heart and from your lips, you're going to have to be listening to the right kind of stuff. Oh, my. Notice, make a joyful noise. The word joyful means an acclamation of joy. Have you ever seen somebody just get up and sing? And, I mean, they just have God all over them. I mean, a smile on their face. And just it didn't make no difference whether you liked it or not. They're just singing with joy in their heart. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying for us to do. We ought to do that. We ought to be thankful. An acclamation of joy. It also could mean as a battle cry. And boy, I think I've heard some of that in some singing. Amen. That also means... rejoicing, it means shouting. It means a high, joyful sounds. But then notice, I want you to see something else about this invitation to sing. Not only should it be from the depths of our heart and directed again to the ears and the heart of Almighty God, and it should be a joyful noise, but notice again, unto who it's going to the rock of our salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm rooted and grounded and anchored in the rock of my salvation. Now that word rock, as it's used in the text this morning, it implies something of strength. But it also implies a place, hallelujah, of refuge. Thank God, aren't you glad? In Jesus Christ our Lord, the rock of our salvation, that you and I this morning have a place of strength in Him if we're rooted and grounded and anchored in Him. And then we have a place of refuge this morning, a place that we can hide in the midst of the storm, and a place this morning when all seems to be coming against us. Oh, that's the one we're singing to. That's the one we're lifting up our voices to. That's should be coming from the depths of our heart. It should be directed. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah.
Is your salvation this morning based upon the rock? If it's not today, then it needs to be, and it should be, and it better be. But our thankfulness today, I'll be honest with you, we're living in a very ungrateful time. I believe people, when I can remember back in a time in my younger days where people seemed to be more grateful. I'm talking about even people outside the church. We've become so spoiled. I mean, people back in those days didn't have much, but they were grateful for what they had. I mean, I can remember when it was beans and taters and taters and beans. You have beans and taters one day, the next day you have taters and beans. See, you mix it up. And you might have some fat back to go with it. Mm-mm. Or if you're really lucky, go out to the smokehouse and cut you off a piece of that country ham. Oh, my soul. Go down in the cellar and get a can of them green beans. Or some of them good old canned maters. Now, to some people, it's tomatoes. That's exactly right. To us here in the South, under these mountains, it's still taters and maters. And we had plenty of them, and thank God we did. Amen. Hallelujah. To the people that had starved to death without taters. But they were thankful. Young people today think if there's not a McDonald's on every corner where they can get chicken nuggets and french fries, they're going to die. Hey, man, I'm still preaching good. Man, if mom and daddy works hard and puts some food for you, you ought to eat it and thank God for it. And then thank them for it. I'm still preaching, right? Hey, man. You ought to be thankful. First of all, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful unto our Lord. We ought to sing, God, you've been so good to me. God, you provided everything I've needed. If it was beans and taters, it was good beans and taters. If it was cornbread milk, it's good cornbread milk. I'm telling you this morning, God has been so good to you and me this morning. We ought to be thankful unto our Lord. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I ain't going to charge you any extra for it either. Notice there's an invitation to sing. I got to move on. There's an invitation to worship before His presence with thanksgiving. Notice in verse 2. Let us. Notice again. I love the Bible when it talks about let us. Now, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is the Apostle Paul, I believe many times you'll find in the book of Hebrews and other places, he'll say, let us. Not only is there an invitation for you and I to come and sing and worship, but then there's an invitation to each and every one of us that we would come before His presence with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Notice, if you will, this morning, this invitation to worship before His presence with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving here this morning has the implication and the idea of adoration. You know what it means to adorn something, don't you? It means to put stuff on it that makes it look even better than it already looks. Now, listen, He's already King of Kings. He's already God. But He wants you and I to adorn Him this morning with our worship, our praise, our adoration, with our songs, with our service. But it also has the idea not only of adoration, but it has the idea a choir of worshipers. That's what the word means.
a choir of worshipers. It also can mean confession. It can mean a sacrifice of praise. And again, it goes back to that Feast of Tabernacles, which was a thanksgiving offering. As the children of Israel would gather in to Jerusalem for this Feast of Tabernacles, a week of just praising God, they would build booths along the walls and in the city to remind them of God bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And then not only was it a remembrance of that, but it was also to come before His presence with thanksgiving for the harvest that had just been brought in. Friend, I'm telling you, thank God. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. God supplied time after time after time. And this Feast of Tabernacles, they would just come before His presence and worship Him with thanksgiving. That's what we ought to do. Notice, not only is there the invitation to sing, but again, the invitation to worship with thanksgiving. Let me give you three things on the reason why we ought to worship before His presence with thanksgiving. We find them right in the text. Notice, first of all, because of His person. Notice in verse number 3, "For the Lord is a great God." Are y'all with me this morning? We come before His presence with thanksgiving to worship Him because of His person. In other words, just simply because of who He is. Who is He? Notice again the text. "For the Lord is a great God." In other words, this morning, there's nobody else, nor is there another God like Him. Y'all hearing me this morning? Y'all considering the great God in which we have? Man, there's none no greater. There is none no greater. We ought to worship Him before. Come before His presence with thanksgiving simply because of His person, for who He is. He is God, and like Him, there is no other. Here He is irreplaceable. He cannot be replaced. He can't, hallelujah, He can't be voted out. As much as the liberals want to, they can't stamp Him out. They can't kill Him out. Why? Because He's God. And like Him, there is no other. We ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving because of His person. Not only because of His purpose, because He's a great God. But then notice also in the text, and a great King. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? A great King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've not crowned Him yet, but we will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. And then He says, above all other, now notice that next word, little G-O-D-S. There's a lot of gods that a lot of different people worship. But there's no God like the true and the living God. We ought to worship Him this morning because of His person, because of who He is. Not only should we worship before His presence with thanksgiving because of His person, but secondly, because of His power. Notice in verses 4 and 5, "In His hand are the deep places of the earth." "The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His." "And He" what? "Made it. And His hands formed the dry land." You tell me anybody else could do that this morning. There ain't nobody like Him. There ain't nobody that has the power that He has. And could I say, not only does He have the power to create, But he also had the power to save and to redeem an old lost sinner like you and I this morning. Thank God, aren't you glad that God has that kind of power? When the devil said, I've got you, when the devil said, you're down and there's no hope for you, I'm glad there's one that had power to save and redeem, and his name is Jesus this morning. Not only should we come before his presence with thanksgiving because of his person, but secondly, because of his power. Then I want you to notice something else. Thirdly, because we are his people. This ought to excite you. Man, this ought to get you tore up. When you realize you didn't deserve any good thing from God, when you realize you was an old hell-bound sinner, Didn't deserve one good thing from God, couldn't do anything to earn it, couldn't keep it. I mean, I'm telling you this morning, thank God. But because we are his people. Notice back in the text. For he is our God. For he is our God. Could you imagine how those Jews began? For he is our God. And could I say this morning, I'm glad he's my God. Because we are his people, notice. For he is our God. He didn't stop there. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Think about that with me for just a moment. Because we are his people. Number one, that's personal. Now, I'm glad we are collectively, for those that are saved, we are his people. But more importantly, I'm glad that that's personal. But not only do we see that being personal, but we see also within the text this morning that he is the one of provision. We are the people of his pasture. What does pasture represent? Well, we love the 23rd Psalm. Do we not? I don't have time to preach on that this morning or go through that this morning, but I'm glad that David let us know something about the pasture, the green pastures. The pastures represent the provision. Has God looked after you? Has God been good to you? Preacher, I have you to know I work hard and I do this and I do that. I understand that God gives you the ability to work. He gives you the job you have. He gives you ability. He gives you strength. He gives you health. And if it wasn't for all that, you'd have nothing this morning. And I'd have nothing. We ought to come before him and worship him and praise him and honor him with thanksgiving because we are his people, because it's personal, because of his provision, and then also it speaks of his protection. Notice again the latter part of that verse. And the sheep of his hand. And the sheep of his hand. That means for those that have trusted Christ, he's got us right here. Now, isn't it amazing that this psalm talks about him being able to hold all that within his hand, but yet he's still able to keep you and I within his hand? That means protection. That means, as mean as that sorry rascal the devil is, that as long as I'm in his hand, as long as you are in his hand, even the devil had to go before God, before he could do a thing to old Job. Study your Bible. I'm telling you this morning, thank God if you are in His hands, it is a place of protection. That doesn't mean that the troubles and trials won't come and the storm. But listen, as long as you and I are in His hand, hallelujah, we are in a place of protection and a place of protection, a place of provision, and it's personal. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving for being His people. Thirdly, about to lose some of you. There's an invitation to sing. There's an invitation to come before His presence with thanksgiving. And thirdly, there's an invitation of warning. There's an invitation of warning. And as wonderful as all this, could you imagine as wonderful all this psalm was as they sang it? They also sung out a warning. I want you to see it in the latter part of this psalm this morning. Notice in the latter part of verse number 7. Today, if you will hear His voice. See, it's up to you. And it's up to me whether or not we will listen to His voice. Not His audible voice. But as He speaks to our hearts through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God. Notice He gives an invitation of warning. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation. And said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Notice in verse number 11, and to whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. All of us need to consider this morning, will we hear and respond, or will we hear and reject? Will we hear and respond? Will we hear or reject? There's an invitation of warning. If you will hear His voice, I want you to notice a couple of things and I'll be done. I want you to notice, first of all, the stubbornness or the hardness He talks about of hearts. When He talks about the children of Israel, as you remember, as they come up out of the wilderness, or come up out of Egypt and got into the wilderness, they begin to murmur. And they begin to complain. Instead of praising Him and thanking Him, they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. But most importantly, they did not believe God. And they rejected God. So for 40 years, for 40 long years, a generation had to die in the wilderness instead of coming into the Canaan land experience, into the rest of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be wandering around for no 40 years. Preacher, I'm saved! You can still wander from God. You can still reject what God has for you. But it comes with a great cost. Notice He says, hard not, or in other words, stubbornness of heart. I believe there's people that sits in church services week after week after week. And God deals with their heart. The voice of God goes out through the preaching of His Word. And you just get your heart a little harder, and a little harder, and a little harder. There's no rest in that. There's no comfort in that. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. But man, if you'll just ever give it over to God, I'm glad you can enter into a rest.
that only God can give you. I want you to notice this morning, not only do we see here this invitation of warning, a stubbornness of heart, but secondly, we've already made reference to it, but let me close with it. A separation from His rest. Not only today, but friend, for all eternity, if you reject Him. People harden. Matter of fact, I believe that in the year 2018, that so many people have hardened their heart to the point that God sometimes doesn't deal with them anymore. I believe you can find that in Romans chapter number 1. Sinner friend, don't harden your heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart, if you'll go back and study the Bible. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and hardening his heart and hardening his heart. And boy, you find people all throughout the Word of God, instead of receiving, they rebelled and they rejected. That's a warning. In this great psalm, as they're singing praises, as they're coming before His presence with thanksgiving, God says to the psalmist here, go ahead and warn them. Go ahead and warn them. Don't get stubborn. Don't reject. Don't rebel. Because if you do, you'll miss that rest. Not only in this life, but more importantly, in the eternal. There's people today that's went out into eternity that will never see a moment's peace or a moment's rest. That rich man in the book of Luke is still wanting mercy. Is still wanting rest. Is still wanting peace. Is still wanting comfort. But he'll never have it. We ought to be thankful. Be ye thankful for and unto our Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Scotty, you come. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for this time that we've been able to gather in the house of God on this Lord's Day. I thank you for the privilege to stand in this place one more time and try to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, what a wonderful psalm that it is. And Lord, I pray as your people this morning that we be reminded often that, Lord, we ought to come before you and lift up our voice in song just to worship you. And Lord, we ought to come before your presence with thanksgiving. But Lord, we also this morning ought to sound that invitation of warning. Because there's many that will never enter into the rest of God if they do not come to know Christ as Savior. Lord, help us to always be thankful. For surely you have been good to us. Lord, I do pray this morning. Now, for someone here that have never trusted you as Savior, I pray today would be the day that they not harden their heart, but, Lord, they would invite you into their heart and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe a Christian here today that's grown cold and indifferent. Maybe out of the will of God, not where they need to be. Lord, I pray they might come as well. Lord, I just commit the invitation to your hands. You do what we cannot do. Help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And as they play soft.